Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to hour three of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck. He's Clay. I'm in New York City. Clay is out in Nashville, Tennessee, and we are bringing you all of the latest today here. Fauciism continues to plague our collective psyche in this country. We'll talk about whether you can actually enjoy your holiday season according to the CDC and the Fauci. Plus, Kyrsten Sinema, senator from Arizona, chased into a bathroom by an illegal immigrant activist. And we've got some budget updates for you. Senator Chuck Schumer saying that in the next month they're going to get both the bills passed. Don't worry, libs. They're going to get their spending spree. That's what he's saying. We'll see what's in it. It's probably not going to be the full $3.5 trillion. It might be a little more than the $1.5 that Joe Manchin of West Virginia said was going to be his price tag. But let's start with the reality of the COVID lockdown and mitigation regime that we continue to live under at different levels in different places. Remember, there's a federal vaccine mandate for employers with over 100 employees. There's a vaccine mandate a mask mandate for interstate travel on airplanes and has been for pretty much the whole time. There are a lot of places where they have these requirements in place. And you may be thinking, well, how is this going to go if we just had such a panic over Delta in the warmer states over the summer? How is this going to go in the winter time when it gets up into blue states with the people who are more likely to panic? As we know, it is the vaccinated liberal who is under 50, who is the one who is most pushing all of this stuff. If you're looking for the archetype of who is really in favor of continued Fauciism, it's a 35-year-old Brooklynite who watches MSNBC every night, double masks outside when people are watching.
It's your people, Buck.
What?
It's your people.
I mean, it's New York City people. Trust me, they don't think of me as their people. But those are the folks who are very much involved in pushing these policies. It's people in Los Angeles. It's people in New York, Chicago, D.C., the major cities. And, you know, Clay, there are a million Republicans here in New York who unfortunately have to live with the madness. Trump voters who have to sit around saying, how long are they going to continue to wear masks? How long are they going to continue to do this stuff? Well, Fauci wants everyone to know. He did, because he's backed off on this one. He's changed a little bit. He's a little bit. But here was the Fauci as of yesterday, just as a quick reminder for everyone.
You know, Margaret, it's just too soon to tell. We've just got to concentrating on continuing to get those numbers down and not try to jump ahead by weeks or months and say what we're going to do at a particular time. Let's focus like a laser on continuing to get those cases down. And we can do it by people getting vaccinated and also in the situation where boosters are appropriate to get people boosted.
I am so fed, and I know so many people listening to us right now are too. I'm just so fed up with the idea that Fauci has any kind of moral authority at all. Now, he's walked back the comments from yesterday and now said, oh, if you're vaccinated, you can celebrate Christmas. But what I take as a really good sign here, Buck, is he actually walked this back. Because I know Fauci has said one thing and done the other for months and months, but I'm curious, can you remember a comment that he made that he then changed the next day? I mean, I know he is wrong on everything. You know, he said that COVID was going to feast on the college football stadiums, for instance, just recently. And we can go back in time and he's basically flip-flopped on anything he initially said, but he talks about that as evolving over the course of months or a year or 18 months. I can't remember. I mean, I'm taking this as a positive. I'm curious if you can, because I know all of us have to constantly be parsing what the oracle of Fauci is saying. I can't remember when he says, Buck, one thing one day and then the next day comes back and says, oh, that was misconstrued, and basically takes back everything that he said the day before.
Yeah, I mean, this is a time when I think he finally crossed the line enough that even the people that have been willing to back him up all along have been saying, you know, that he is on this one only appealing to just people who are emotionally destabilized
so
by the
wrong
reality of the COVID world in which we are living, who cannot handle what the actual numbers are, who won't bring family members around. Remember, he is talking about vaccinated people. When we're talking about, you know, who Fauci is saying don't gather, the assumption that he's making is for everybody, including vaccinated people, that maybe, he didn't say you couldn't gather, but he said maybe it's too early to tell whether at Christmas time. What he should be saying is, we have given everybody plenty of time to get vaccinated. We are back at normal now. No more masks anywhere. None of this stuff. We're done with it. That's what he should say. Of course, he's nowhere near saying that. He will never say that. But he did back this one, did walk this one back, as Clay said.
You know, I also said something over the weekend that was taken completely out of context. I was asked, what could we predict for this winter, for like December and Christmas?
I was going to ask you.
Yeah, I mean, I say you hold off on that. I said, we don't know, because we've seen slopes that went down and then came back up. The best way to assure that we'll be in good shape as we get into the winter would be to get more and more people vaccinated. That was misinterpreted as my saying we can't spend Christmas with our families, which was absolutely not the case. I will be spending Christmas with my family. I encourage people, particularly the vaccinated people who are protected, to have a good, normal Christmas with your family. But just the way all of the other disinformation goes around, you say something talking about a landmark of a time and it gets misinterpreted that I'm saying you can't spend family Christmas time, which is nonsense.
This is not misinterpreted. He's lying.
Played you the clips. He's wrong. I think and this is why I think it's significance, Buck. I'm going to take this as a positive. Somebody slapped around Fauci after the Christmas comments and said, hey, have you looked at your polling, buddy? People don't trust you anymore. And they shouldn't, because he's been wrong so often. And I just want to hammer home these numbers, because you would think somebody like Fauci would be talking about them. Buck, do you know what percentage of people age 65 and up have had at least one dose of the COVID vaccine? 94%. These are the people who overwhelmingly are in danger of COVID the most. 94% of those 65 and up. 77%. I'm looking at the New York Times data right now, 18 and up. 76% of people ages 12 and up have had at least one vaccine shot for COVID. These are all numbers that I think if you had asked Fauci about, in fact, we did, meaning the country at large, if you had told him that we were going to get to those kind of numbers where over 3 in 4 people, 12 and up, had the COVID vaccine, he would have told you everything would be fine. And so what they're seeing is the numbers you just hit us with from Massachusetts, the numbers we've been talking about from Israel and from England. This thing ain't going away. And so people have to make their own choices. When can you get back to some form of normalcy? Right? And Fauci just got called out. He blew it on Sunday, and now he's trying to walk back what he said on Monday, and he's blaming people like you and me, Buck. How dare we misinform the public by sharing his actual video in quotes?
Yeah, I mean, if you were an honest person, which he is not, he would say, you know what,
I misspoke,
or he would say, which isn't even really true, but, you know, at least that's plausible. Or he'd say, I'm worried that we could have something that evades the vaccines entirely as a variant, and so I just don't want to get ahead of ourselves that way. But he was doing the usual, it could get really bad, and you might just have to stay at home and mask up. And he's doing what he always does, because if you listen to this guy, when are we done? I mean, Clay, you've been talking to me offline about New Zealand and how they're finally saying COVID zero ain't happening. Because they've had these... we never had real lockdowns in America, in the sense that people were barred by the force of the state from leaving their homes. There were always essential workers. There were always these loopholes. So we had, in some ways, you know, a worse epidemiological situation where we had all these downsides of lockdown, but not even keeping. Yeah, if you don't see anybody, you're not going to spread the virus. Australia and New Zealand have had their highest caseloads ever during extreme lockdown, and they're both now, well, New Zealand, at least officially now, is going to say, we can't keep doing this. We just can't keep doing it.
And I think this is the failure of the lockdown, the Fauciites, as you, I think, accurately call them. The country is changing course 7 weeks into a lockdown that had, this is New Zealand, that has failed to end the outbreak and tested the patients of many residents. I'm reading an article from the New York Times. Opening paragraph. For a year and a half, New Zealand has pursued a strategy of COVID zero, closing its borders and quickly enforcing lockdowns to keep the coronavirus in check, a policy it maintained even as other Asia-Pacific countries transitioned to coexisting with the viral threat. On Monday, New Zealand gave up the ghost. The Prime Minister acknowledged an end to the strategy 7 weeks into a lockdown that's failed to halt an outbreak of the Delta variant, announcing restrictions would be gradually lifted in Auckland, the country's largest city. This is big, Buck. I think this is big because this is as much of a direct defeat as the lockdowners could get. Because they've been pointing to New Zealand, probably out there if you're on social media. People are like, why couldn't we just be New Zealand? Why did we fail? We're transitioning from our current strategy into a new way of doing things. With Delta, the return to zero is incredibly difficult, and our restrictions aren't enough to achieve that. In fact, for this outbreak, it's clear long periods of heavy restrictions has not got us to zero cases. What we have called a long tail feels more like a tentacle that's been incredibly hard to shake. This is the most lockdown extreme success story in New Zealand for all of the Fauciites acknowledging that they have failed in their battle with COVID. It's a big deal. I think it is.
Plus, the whole world is not a tiny island where sheep outnumber people 10-1. I mean, if we're going to be honest here, you know?
Yes.
Are you holding on to boxes of old home movies to share with family members? Every day, VCRs and film projectors get harder to find, and the media that you're storing, the old media you're storing, it becomes more vulnerable to just the wear and tear of the environment. There's a number of us that say, you know, one day I'm going to take that on. I'm going to buy the electronic gear, do all this transferring, and then share all my old home movies and photos and videos, all that stuff. Because, you know, I'll do it one day. But the truth is, it's very expensive, and it's a bigger project than you'd like to think it is. That's why you need Legacy Box. Legacy Box is a much faster, less expensive way to get the same thing accomplished. It's your chance to have aging tapes, films, and photos digitally preserved. I've done it with old photos of me from sports teams and going to summer camp over 20, 30 years ago. And I can share them with family members whenever I want. I can text them to them because the photos are stored up in the cloud. Right now, Legacy Box is offering 40% off at legacybox.com/clay so you can start future-proofing your past today. I mean, Clay, the service is so simple.
Yeah, it's amazing, Buck. You can use the kit, safely send the moments you want preserved. Their team will create a digital archive by hand right here in my home state of Tennessee. Then you'll receive your new copy stored on the cloud, a thumb drive or a DVD, along with the original media you sent them. It's amazing. You can track it. They'll take care of all your products. And right now, you get 40% off if you go to legacybox.com/clay. Take advantage of their offer today. Trust them to take care of your most prized possessions, your memories that you can preserve forever. Go to legacybox.com/clay to save 40% off. One more time, legacybox.com/clay. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Big stories out there. We were just talking to you about everything surrounding Fauci and his too soon to know if Christmas needs canceling or not. We got to figure out what's going to happen with the budget. Joe Biden still has not locked down Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia or Senator Sinema of Arizona. And if you haven't heard this already, she was chased, Senator Sinema was, into the bathroom at Arizona State. While she's in the stall, you can hear the flushing of toilets, a camera running. I think this should be prosecuted as an illegal act. Here's what it sounded like.
We knocked on doors for you to get you elected. And just how we got you elected, we can get you out of office if you don't support what you promised us.
We need 7 million citizenship for 7 million. We need the Build Back Better plan right now.
My name is Blanca. I was brought here to the United States when I was 3 years old. And I'm here because I definitely believe that we need a pathway to citizenship. We need to hold you accountable to what you told us, what you promised us that you were going to pass when we knocked on doors for you. It's not right.
I'm a survivor of human trafficking, and it's because of the lack of worker protections that we don't have in the gig economy. I need you to stand by workers.
I mean, Buck, this is crazy. I mean, this is madness. This is Maxine Waters, what she created, writ large, now blowing up on Democrats themselves.
A lot of Democrats back in the Trump administration were willing to even openly support tactics of harassment of public officials. And look, I'm not going to, we got chants going on about Biden. I mean, I'm not opposed to a little rough and tumble. Apparently, they're really excited about Let's Go Brandon, according to one journalist out there.
We need to play that audio.
Yeah, they're not actually, they weren't chanting at that NASCAR race, Let's Go Brandon. They were definitely saying something else that
FJB.
I can't say.
FJB.
But it sounds a bit like my name and some other person's name put together. The other person happens to be the president. Anyway, that's a thing that was happening. But yeah, so people are chanting this about Joe Biden. I'm not opposed to a little bit of saltiness in politics, but I am opposed to following, harassing, threatening, and acting like a lunatic as just a general rule. I don't want our side doing it, which, of course, very, very rarely does that happen. I certainly don't want the left doing it. And they, Clay, largely embraced it. And what was supposed to be, and we'll come back in this because Joe Biden spoke about this today. What was supposed to be the takeaway here? If Kyrsten Sinema said, you know what? You guys aren't even going to let me like get to washing my hands before you're going to harass me with this. I'll go with amnesty. It's not in her power to deliver. She can't actually do it. And it's certainly not something that the American people by a majority would want. But nonetheless, so what are these activists doing other than harassing people and getting a lot of attention through that harassment?
I think they're blowing up their chances of getting Sinema to join their side, too. And we're going to play this audio for you of Joe Biden, who claimed, I'm going to restore normalcy. I'm going to keep our politics from being so heavy-handed and awful, frankly. And what's happened? Like everything else Joe Biden has tried to deliver on, he is failing. He can't even answer a question at a press conference appropriately. Plus, as we continue, we got to finish off the last 30 minutes of the show. We got to get Buck's review of his first ever college football game. We had an incredible time down in Tuscaloosa. It was absolutely awesome to meet so many of you Ole Miss and Alabama fans face to face. We'll talk about all that as well. But in the meantime, I want to tell you about Mike Lindell. He invented MyPillow, and his team fits us for our own pillows and so much of their other products, whether it's towel sets, slippers, robes, mattress toppers, Giza sheets, on top of many others. You can trust Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. The sheets are made from the world's best cotton. It's Giza Ultra Soft Breathable. They are absolutely phenomenal. And for a limited time, the Giza Dream Sheets are buy one, get one free with the promo code Clay and Buck. All MyPillow products get a 60-day money-back guarantee, guys. You can go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials to get the Giza Dream Sheets. I'm telling you, these are phenomenal. Buy one, get one free with the code Clay and Buck, or call 800-792-3269. Again, go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio specials, and get one, buy one, get one free. Code Clay and Buck. Do it today.
Hey, it's Buck here with Clay on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. And we told you that Joe Biden had weighed in on the harassment of Kyrsten Sinema of the Democrat Party, senator from Arizona, over the weekend at Arizona State. As Clay rightly points out, Arizona State, not to be confused with another school in Arizona. And she was followed into the bathroom. Look, if they hadn't followed her into the bathroom, I think a lot of people would say, you know, okay, fair play, public figure. I mean, following her in the hallway is kind of annoying, but you can't follow people into the bathroom. I mean, this is why they're trying to say, oh, but public figures should be held to account. okay, well, can you crawl into a public figure's window and say, you know, I'm in your kitchen, I'm making demands? No, that would be trespassing and very creepy. So there are things you can't do. And videotaping somebody in a bathroom, regardless of the specifics of the statute in Arizona, there is a statute without permission taping in a bathroom.
As well, there should be, Buck.
Yes.
I mean, right?
I think that statute exists because of, you know, creepo weirdos who try to videotape people doing things in bathrooms. And it's a felony, but it's a serious statute. It's not like you pay a fine statute. So I don't know if this violates a specific text of it or not. But the point here is that it's a weird, unacceptable thing to do. It does bring you to the mindset, though, of the activist left. They view this stuff as something that they sometimes, you know, you got to cross the line if you really care about the issue or whatever. They always have an excuse. Here is Joe Biden when he should be able to weigh in on this and, you know, have a sort of, you know, real American man approach to this thing where you say, hey, man, we don't follow women into bathrooms and videotape them. Here's what Joe Biden said.
Mr. President, you're talking about how you have 48 Democratic votes right now. The other two have been pressured over the weekend by activists. Joe Manchin had people on kayaks show up to his boat to yell at him. Senator Sinema last night was chased into a restroom. Do you think that those tactics are crossing a line?
I don't think they're appropriate tactics, but it happens to everybody. From the only people it doesn't happen to are people who have Secret Service standing around them. So it's part of the process.
It's not part of the process,
no,
Clay.
No. This is a swing and a miss of an epic level by Joe Biden, because this is directly contradictory to what he ran for the office on. So it is not part of the process to follow women into the bathroom literally while they are going to the bathroom and lecture them with video rolling. I've never seen that happen before. And the idea that you would in any way normalize it, again, runs counter to everything that Joe Biden said he was going to do when he became elected. And we talked about this a little bit in the first hour, Buck, and you said, I think there's a strong argument that Biden is so afraid of the left wing in his party that he's not willing to condemn them, even though I think that is what someone who was truly trying to unite the party would do. This would be, if you remember back in the day when Bill Clinton ran for president, Buck, do you remember when Sister Suljha, this is an old school, like 1992 moment, but she had a rap song that she did where she bragged about killing police, basically. And Bill Clinton came out and said, hey, this is everything that the Democratic Party should repudiate. Now, this was back in the day when Democrats actually claimed to like police. And ironically enough, the defund the police movement so insanely dumb because Bill Clinton, I believe, ran on the idea of putting 100,000 more police on the streets to help combat the crime wave that was going on in the 1990s. And obviously, Rudy Giuliani, this was not a partisan
issue. Joe Biden's big thing in the 90s was the crime bill.
That's right.
There was the federal legislation about dealing with crime.
That's
because,
exactly right.
You know, the murder rate and everything nationwide was so out of control. So that's, and now, of course, he's turned his back on that and said that he shouldn't have done that.
And I think to your point, this is because in a time when America needs a leader, Joe Biden's a follower. He's going to follow wherever he thinks he can avoid the least amount of attention, which is such an indictment, because the one time you would think you'd be able to stand up for everything that you actually believe in is when you're 78 years old. You have a limited at best chance of ever being president again. You would think that in that 4-year term, you could say exactly what you think and not have to worry about the larger political consequences. And maybe just do the right thing, because I don't even see this as a remotely political idea. Buck, I think, and I want to keep hammering this home, I don't even think that often in terms of Republican Democrats in my own head that often. I think in terms of sane and insane. Is it sane to in any way justify a woman being followed into the bathroom, regardless of what her politics are, and filmed there while she is being chastised while trying to go to the bathroom?
Yeah,
would anyone out there with a wife, with a mom, with a grandma, would any of them think that that's appropriate to do?
Well, it's clearly insane, Clay, but the reason Joe Biden took the position he did was so that he could say, well, I technically disapproved of it, but he used the language that he knew wouldn't inflame the left, because he could have condemned this a whole lot more.
And should have.
But decided not to. And it's because his agenda right now hangs in the balance. There are real concerns about what's going to be from the progressive wing of the Democrat Party, which is more a vanguard than a wing in many ways. I think they direct it. I mean, here's Representative Jayapal, for example, who's talking about the infrastructure bill that they've had this huge back and forth, $3.5 trillion, $1.5 trillion. Where is it going to go? They've got a month to figure it out. And she's saying that this is not about the price somehow.
Well, what we've said from the beginning is it's never been about the price tag. It's about what we want to deliver. The price tag comes out of that. So we understand that we, you know, the 3.5 we thought was negotiated already is clearly not negotiated. We understand we have to get 50 senators on board and we have to keep everyone in the House on board. And so we are now going back to make sure what is the way that we can get all of the critical programs that we had identified, those things I talked to you about, childcare, paid leave. How do we get all of those things in?
Clay, it is about the price. They keep saying this. It's clearly about the price, because if it's not about the price, well, then just put free health care for everybody, free college, free housing, free food. Just go all in. If it's not about, of course it's about the price.
Just eliminate all of the foundational elements of economics in a capitalistic system, and let's just have a $20 trillion bill, right? It's 100% about the price. And you know it's about the price because Democrats have even tried to argue that the price is zero, right? They've tried to argue that there is no cost associated.
Or it's not high enough. How can it, you know what I mean? If it's not about the price, then why isn't $1.5 trillion enough? What they say makes no sense.
And inflation, we should keep hammering this because I know everybody who is listening to us on a day-to-day basis is seeing it every time they drive past a gas station. By the way, gas prices, 7-year high today. Highest since 2014. That is what the Joe Biden economic system has done. That is what's sending all this money flowing into the system. Buck, we were talking off air about all of the cargo issues and whether or not people are going to be able to get things shipped in, whether it's toys, whether it's all these things coming out of foreign countries into our country. You can't even get it into the country.
This is a huge problem, folks. Our supply chains rely on these massive cargo ships being able to put their their containers in port, have those goods distributed. And so the downstream effects of this will be felt by businesses, by corporations, large and small across the country. If it continues, they are waiting weeks right now, they're saying, to dock these cargo ships, particularly off of Southern California. And it's because there are COVID restrictions and because there are people that are not. They have a labor crunch at the docks.
They don't have enough people.
They don't have enough people. People are getting sent checks to stay at home. And also with all the COVID regulations that are in place, they're not going back to work the same way. And this has negative effects on the economy, which has an impact on all of us.
No doubt. And I think a lot of moms and dads out there, Buck, as it gets closer to Christmas and you're buying your presents, I think toys are not going to be on the shelves, many of them. I mean, this is going to be a real issue going forward, and it's going to hit people in their pocketbooks and also in their lives. When we come back, we'll talk, Buck, your experience at your first ever college football game. But first, pain thresholds, highly individualized. Pain tolerance from one person to another can be entirely different. But if you suffer from everyday pain, there are probably so many different remedies you've tried. Now we want you to trust us and try out Relief Factor. They're doing great things for so many people out there. Created by doctors, perfected over 15 years of scientific research, it's a 100% drug-free product made for you. 7 out of 10 people in the audience who try it and keep ordering more after their initial 3-week trial. Our friends have developed this 3-week quick start. You take Relief Factor 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 3 weeks, and you'll know if it works for you like it has worked for Buck Sexton's dad and for my wife. Buck, how do they get signed up?
Join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor. Feel the difference.
Welcome back in. Final segment, Monday edition. Encourage you to go subscribe to the podcast. I haven't seen the final numbers, but I believe we set an all-time record for this show in September. For those of you out there downloading and subscribing to the podcast, we appreciate you greatly. As we do everybody who is listening live, including many people that we met face to face in both Birmingham, Alabama, and then in Tuscaloosa for the Ole Miss Alabama game. It was Buck Sexton's first ever college football game. We had some tremendous opportunities, got to go down to the field, posted some of those photos and videos. Given the fact that Instagram and Facebook are down, if you want to see those, see how we experience the day, you can go to clayandbuck.com and check out. Allie did a phenomenal job sort of giving you a behind-the-scenes look at our day. clayandbuck.com for those videos and for footage of Buck and I, Ole Miss and Alabama. What did you think? Okay, now that you've been to a major college football game, what did you expect? And what was the reality? What was your overall experience?
Having been to a fair number of Jets and Giants games over the years, you know, you kind of think, okay, well, big football game. The scale of the whole endeavor that day in Tuscaloosa and just the energy, not even only in the stadium, which was amazing, with over 100,000. I think they said it was 102,000 the day we were there was what someone told me the total number in attendance was. But then just to see that town, because we got there early. You were doing your Fox show, and we got there in the morning, and the streets were pretty quiet. And then you just saw the whole town of Tuscaloosa, I mean, come alive with tens of thousands of people walking around, the tailgating, everything that was happening. A lot of fun for us, obviously, because everybody from, you know, grandparents waving Ole Miss or Alabama gear down to the frat bros on Fraternity Row.
Many of whom love the show, by the way.
I know, I was going to say, they're like, Clay and Buck, hey, what's up? They were all excited about it. It was a lot of fun to see those kids, man, and everyone's having a good time. Look, I get it. There's a lot of tradition, a lot of energy that goes into this stuff, and it was pretty amazing, really cool. I will say, though, everyone that I talked to was like, you're spoiled now.
Yeah.
You're spoiled. So if you go to some other college football game somewhere else, it won't be quite at this level. I did get some messages, though, from people who were like, why? I mean, it's funny. They're like, why Alabama? Why didn't you see Auburn play with the first time? You know? And I was like, we just picked a game. I don't know. It seemed like a good game to go
people
to.
People are so committed to their team that if you do anything other than say it's the greatest, and I had to learn this, you know, as a sports guy, sometimes you just can't go to every game, right? I mean, I would love to go to every game, and I'm fortunate that I've been to so many big games over the years. But you also kept saying, and I think it's instructive and it's helpful for me. It's like a form of healing to be out on the road for me because there's so much fighting every day. You know, we're in a fight, whether people believe it or not. Like you and I, we're in a fight, a battle of ideas every single day, and we're throwing punches and people are throwing punches at us. But a lot of times you don't see the people that you're fighting for. And I love, Buck, being out at these games because, and you kept saying, and it's true, these are our people.
Yes.
Like the people that we are fighting for, I feel so fortunate to be able to see them every weekend during this fall out and about. And I know for you, it's a particular challenge because you're in New York. And so a lot of the people that you see are throwing punches at you all day long.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You're surrounded by negativity. Well, and I know it had to feel good for you to be like, oh, it's so good to see my people.
Well, it's funny because in the same way that we had a whole bunch of folks from law enforcement, and they were so nice to us in Tuscaloosa. And a lot of them listened to the show and loved the show. We appreciate them coming up and shaking hands and kind of giving high fives. It's funny though, in New York, a lot of the cops, you know, those,
yes.
If I'm going to have somebody come up to me and say, you know, we love the Clay and Buck show on 710 WOR, for example, our big New York affiliate. There's a very good chance it's a law enforcement officer, either current or former retired,
yeah,
who comes up to me here in New York City. And the way it works here, I mean, Clay was saying that when we're in Tuscaloosa, we're walking around. If people down there are into conservative politics, they kind of know the show and they support what we do.
It's the full stadium, basically.
Yeah. And so we're able to walk around and just have a really nice chat with everybody and really enjoy our time down there. I will also say that producer Allie and I had fantastic food in Birmingham.
Like, oh, yeah.
Absolutely excellent food in Birmingham. The only funny thing that happened was, so we had borrowed a car from our WERC affiliate, and they were very kind. They lent us a vehicle down there. So
they were great
in Birmingham when we did the show from Birmingham. So we had that car for the weekend to get to the game and everything else. But we had to give it back, and we had a very early flight on Sunday. And so they told us this may happen. that we'd have to either call a cab or get in, you know, some kind of a rideshare service like an Uber. Nothing at 5 a.m. in Birmingham. We were totally out of luck. So I had to go and we found a Birminghamian, I guess.
I think that's right. Yeah.
A person who worked for, he was actually a security guard that I found. He's wearing a security guard uniform and I had to offer him cash to take us at 5 a.m., a stranger, to the airport because, you know, it's not a metropolis of 8 million people where you can, you know, order Thai food at 3 a.m. and it arrives 20 minutes later. So that was the only logistics challenge, Clay, we had to deal with. By the way, fellow was very nice, took us in his pickup truck, took us to the airport. Yes, we made it.
I'll be, by the way, down in Texas and fresh off of Buck having an incredible time. Jesse is going to Jesse Kelly, who is obviously taking over your spot. He wants to be there for the Texas A&M Alabama game. So we're just going to continue to take people to big games. And,
wait, so you're taking Jesse to Texas A&M? Oh, you guys are going to have a great time.
Yeah, he's going to come up. So so it should be a phenomenal time. I'm going to be down in Aggieland this weekend for another big game.
The good thing is you won't lose Jesse Kelly because he's about 9 feet tall. So no matter how big the crowd is, he'll be the guy who is towering over. He's bigger than the football players on the line. He's bigger than all of them. So easy to find in a crowd.
It's an outstanding show. We appreciate all of you hanging out with us on this Monday. And thanks to everybody that we met. It was an awesome
time. Yeah, I really, honestly, every single person who came up to us or just was you know, friendly to us down in Alabama. Everyone was as nice, as warm, friendly, and great as advertised and expected. So big thanks. And also thanks, of course, to our Birmingham affiliate, WERC, for hosting us and treating us so well. We were down there. Clay, we got to make some more affiliate visits now. We got to make this a thing. We got to go see some of our peeps.
I love to be on the road. There's a lot of cities that I want to hit. We're talking about D.C. for a week. I need to be up in New York again. We'll have a good time for sure.